with the word of truth. Begat he us with the word of truth. That's James 1:18. So it's a birth according to the words of God. That's Isaac's birth. And if you're saved, if you if you're born again, you're born again by the words of God, just like Isaac was born by the words of God. Second thing is, sort of along those lines, it's a birth in spite of the impotence of the flesh. Like it's kind of along the same lines, but like we said, Abraham and Sarah, they couldn't have children. And one of the descriptions of their natural state is they were dead. And so this birth has to be a spiritual birth, which is kind of the same things, but not exactly the same things. It's the first distinction is it's a birth by the words of God. The second is it's a birth in spite of the flesh. The flesh is rendered weak and unable. It's just unable to produce what God's going to produce here. It's like what Jesus Christ says to, I think it's to the disciples, but they said something like, well, Lord, then who can enter the kingdom, something like that. And he says it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, something like that. And they say, well, that's impossible. And he agrees, that is impossible. Then he says, well, with God, all things are possible. I mean, he agrees that it's impossible to do what he said. Just like it's impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have a child. That's impossible. It's impossible for you to be born again without the Spirit of God. It's impossible for your flesh to produce a new birth. That's something only the Spirit of God does. So just like Isaac, it was a birth in spite of the impotence of the flesh. And then you have this similarity, which is very... very noteworthy. But go back to Genesis chapter 21 and look in verse 9. Some of you have experienced this, and some of you may not have experienced this. Some of you have learned that the flesh is a much more formidable foe than you thought it was, and when you tried to get serious about the Lord, or when you got serious about the Lord, the flesh wasn't satisfied with that, and it fought back. In Genesis 21, let me ask you: so Ishmael's in the picture when Isaac's born and weaned, and Abraham has that celebration for Isaac. What does Ishmael do? Anybody remember what we read in Genesis? He's mocking. He's making fun of him. So it says in Genesis chapter 21, verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So here's something the new birth does that you may not have thought, but you may have come to realize. But this birth of Isaac, just like the new birth, it brought about a conflict at the home. It brought about a conflict in the home. There's two sons here. One is of the flesh, the other is of the spirit, and they're not going to get along. They're going to fight. And not necessarily because Isaac wants to fight, but because Ishmael wants to fight. And Ishmael doesn't like Isaac, and he's all the fighting over there in the Middle East, that's just constant. It's just constant fighting. Every president has a peace plan, and we're going to bring them all together and get them all at the table, and they're all going to agree and shake hands. It's not ever going to happen. There's not going to be peace there because both of them claim the same land. Both of them claim Abraham as their father, and both of them say, we were given this land. And so you're never going to have peace there. It brought about conflict in the home. And a Christian, think of it personally, a Christian, maybe it's not in the home, maybe it's just personal, maybe it's in you, that you will deal with this conflict the rest of your natural life. When Isaac's born, Isaac and Ishmael are not going to get along. Just like if you get saved, you trust Jesus Christ, and you become a child of God, you're born again, that new birth, that new creature that you've become will never get along with the flesh, and the flesh will never get along with that new creature. They will constantly be at odds. They will constantly be fighting. And that's sort of not the mystery, but the confusion sometimes. Like, I think I'm saved, but I still have these temptations. I still have these things in my mind. I still have these thoughts. And the answer is, yeah, you still have all that. You still carry around your flesh. You still carry around, Ishmael's still right there with you. And he's still right there mocking. And he makes fun of it. And he says, this stuff you got with God, this isn't going anywhere. So at his birth, Isaac's birth, brought about a conflict in the home. It just like your new birth, maybe it's not at home, maybe it's just within yourself, but it brings about a conflict that maybe you were unaware of. And I say, some of you have really, if you ever in your life have got close to the Lord, just really spent some time really filled with the Holy Spirit of God, serving God, what you find out is after a little while, the flesh just hits back. And it does not put up with you being filled with the Spirit of God. It will not put up with it. And the first time that happens, I think Christians are surprised that it happens. They kind of get knocked off their feet a little bit, like, what happened? I'm miserable again. I'm like not excited about the Lord anymore. What happened? And the answer is the flesh just hit back. It started mocking. It just acted out what it's going to act out. It did exactly what it's going to do. There's a time over there in, there's a time over there in Judges where the Israelites, they're having to fight their own tribe, the Benjamites. And there's all kinds of issues going on there, but they're having to fight their own people. And anyhow, they fight, and I think it's the Benjaminites, it may be the Ephraimites, I can't remember. I think it's Benjamin. But they fight, and man, they make a pretty good run at it, of putting down the other tribe. And they go back and thought they'd made a pretty good run at it. And then Benjamin just hits back twice as hard. And they lose thousands of people. And that whole scenario is a great picture of the battle with the flesh and the spirit. It's like, I make some progress, and then it's like I just get punched in the face and punched in the gut by the flesh. And it can be shocking. It can be surprise. What happened? Where did this come from? I thought, man, I was close to God. I'm going to be close to God the rest of my life. And then you didn't realize, no, there is actually spiritual warfare. There is actually a battle that goes on. Now, if you've never been close to the Lord like that, you're probably just unaware of the battle. You just sort of live your life and, you know, whatever happens kind of happens and whatever. But if you've ever tried to get close to the Lord and been close to, you see it sometimes with, I guess a good example maybe with kids at camp sometimes. Sometimes. Kids will go off to camp, they don't have their devices. They're under preaching 3-4 times a day. They got their own devotionals to do. they're having fun, they're activities and all that kind of stuff, but they're under preaching a lot. What happens is they find out they can kind of get close to God. And they get close to God, and then they get home. And then all that close to God just goes back to the routine. And it was like, I thought we could have this experience for a lot longer. Well, you're going to find out the flesh hits back, and sometimes friends and mom and dad who didn't go to camp, they don't have that, they don't understand, and they put that stuff, we all put that stuff back in our lives, and it just, there goes the closeness. And maybe it's kids at camp. I see with sometimes kids at camp, sometimes adults in some sort of revival services or something. You go through this 7 days of preaching or 5 days of preaching, and you're just hearing this stuff, and it's like, man, this is good. This is really, really helping. I feel like I'm getting some things done spiritually in my life, and then the preaching stops, the preacher goes home, and kind of back to the routine, and it's like, man, the end of this thing was worse than the beginning of it. It's like I almost went not only back to the old routine, I went further back into the old routine than I wanted to go back into it. It's the conflict. It's the perpetual conflict. It's just Isaac and Ishmael. It's the new birth in the flesh. It's the same thing. Which brings us to the fourth point. The birth of Isaac revealed the character of Ishmael. So it reveals the character of the flesh. If you didn't know who Ishmael was before this, now you know who Ishmael is. Ishmael is opposed to God's promise. And you may not have known that before Isaac came along, but you sure know it after Isaac's born. It's better put in contrast when what may not have been seen without the contrast, now you have a contrast, and now you can say, oh, okay, so Isaac really, he's really opposed to all this. He is, you know, and that says about your flesh, you find out that along those same lines we're talking about, you may have thought, oh, it's just pleasures of the flesh and all this kind of stuff. Well, you get close to God, or you start trying to get into your Bible, you start trying to serve God, and what happens is you really encounter the character of the flesh. That really starts to come out. And if you don't do anything about it, if you just let it go, it will take over and it'll drive your life. But that birth of Isaac, it reveals the character of Ishmael. The new birth has a real good way of revealing the character of the flesh. I mean, it'll bring that stuff out that you may not have known was there. But much may seem good about the flesh until it's put in contrast with the new man. There may be a lot of things that seem good about the flesh. Kind of smart, kind of savvy or whatever, and kind of intelligent or kind of strong, kind of fast, good athlete or whatever. Just some things about the flesh, maybe business savvy or whatever. Just some things about the flesh that may seem good until you put them in contrast with the new man. And when the new man shows up, the flesh is deadly opposed to the new man. Just not interested one bit in having the new man, having Isaac live in the same household. They're not interested at all. So what happens is the comparison reveals the flesh for what it is. Isaac's born into the family. Ishmael, you know, he may just been, you know, kid growing up, and he's Ishmael. But boy, once Isaac's born and weaned and starts growing up, well, Ishmael's character starts showing up. And he doesn't like Isaac. And he ain't going to like him, and his kids aren't going to like Isaac. And his kids aren't going to like Isaac's kids. They're not going to get along. So there's those four things. Isaac's birth is very reminiscent, very typical of the new birth. It's a birth according to the words of God, number one. Number two, it's a birth in spite of the impotence of the flesh. Abraham and Sarah could not have children, but they have Isaac because of the power of God. you and I can't manufacture a new birth, but the Spirit of God can manufacture a birth. He can birth people from above. Number three, it's a birth that brought about conflict in the home. And you could apply that to, maybe it's not in the home, maybe it is in the home. But you could even bring that closer to your personal life. It brought about conflict within you. The new birth brought about conflict within you that wasn't there before. And then the new birth revealed the character of the flesh, just like Isaac's birth reveals the character of Ishmael. You don't really know that much about Ishmael until Isaac's born in Genesis 21, and you find out Ishmael thinks Isaac's a joke. And that's what the flesh thinks of God's children. That's what the flesh thinks of the new birth. That's what the flesh thinks of the Spirit of God. And that's just what the flesh thinks about those things. And you're not going to convince it any other way. It just doesn't have that mentality, that thought. So those four things. Isaac is a great type of the new birth. And those are the four things and four reasons why in this chapter, why he's a great type of the new birth. So let's pray. We will get out of here and we'll call it a night. Father, I thank you so much for these words. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this week. Pray you'd bring in kids and their families to VBS. Pray we'd be able to minister to them. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. I pray this is a help and maybe eye-opening, maybe something we're not ready to accept, that we need to accept it, that this is the reality of the situation. Lord, thank you so much for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for a good afternoon at the nursing home and just a great sort of reunion with the folks there and a good time with them. Thank you for all the help with the volunteers for preparing and decorating in the fellowship hall. For all those that have signed up for various positions in the VBS and helping, thank you for all the help. And I pray you'd keep the kids safe and just help us be good stewards of what you've given us. Thank you again for your words and this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are just